Ever get this this creepy feeling that someone's peeking at your online activity?
Oh, yeah.
Or that a website you barely trust is handling your data with kid gloves? I know I do. But behind the scenes, it's security models that are working hard to keep our digital lives safe. Today, we're diving deep into those models thanks to excerpts from 001 Drakt Domain 3 Intro and Section 2.pdf to really understand the blueprints of cybersecurity.
It's a bit like building a high security facility, right? You would just start throwing up walls and hoping for the best.
Right.
No.
You'd need a plan, a blueprint to make sure everything is structured, secure, and accessible only to authorized personnel.
Exactly. And just like those blueprints guide the construction of a building, security models provide a framework for designing secure systems. Our source uses the example of a hospital. Imagine, you want to make sure patient records are confidential.
Absolutely. Only authorized medical staff should be able to access those.
Right. And you'd also want to ensure that information isn't accidentally or maliciously altered. That's where security models come in. They define the rules and procedures to protect information and prevent unauthorized access.
So these models are kind of like the why behind all those security measures we use every day. Passwords, firewalls, encryption, they're the strategic thinking that guides it all.
Got it. And there are different approaches to these blueprints. One major category is lattice-based models.
Lattice, like the garden trellis my grandma's roses climb on.
Think of it more like a hierarchy, different levels of access,
Okay.
like the military, with its classifications of secret and top secret.
So not everyone can see everything. It depends on your clearance level.
Precisely.
Yeah.
One of the classic lattice-based models is the Bell-LaPadula model.
Okay.
This one's laser-focused on confidentiality, ensuring that sensitive information doesn't fall into the wrong hands.
Okay, so this is about preventing leaks, right?
Absolutely. Bell-LaPadula operates on a simple but powerful principle. No read-up, no write-down. Essentially, it prevents someone with lower clearance from accessing information at a higher level.
So if I only have clearance for secret files, I can't just sneak a peek at those juicy top secret
You
documents.
got it. You're confined to your authorized level. And it also works in the other direction. No write-down means someone with top secret clearance can't accidentally or intentionally share that information with someone at a lower level.
It's like that saying, loose lips sink ships, but applied to digital information.
Exactly. Now, while Bell-LaPadula is all about confidentiality, another key lattice-based model called BIBA flips the script.
Okay.
This one's all about integrity, making sure that the information itself is accurate and trustworthy.
Okay, this is interesting. How does that work?
Well, BIBA's motto is the reverse of Bell-LaPadula: no read down, no write up.
Interesting. So instead of worrying about high-level information flowing down, Biba is concerned about less trustworthy data contaminating more sensitive information as you go up the levels.
Exactly. Imagine you're a journalist working on a sensitive story. Would you rely solely on information from a random forum post?
Definitely not. That's asking for trouble. You'd want to verify it with more reliable sources.
Right. And BIBA aims to embed that same principle into how systems handle data. It ensures that lower-level, potentially unreliable information doesn't corrupt data at a higher level.
So it's like ensuring the integrity of the information food chain, if you will, can have those questionable sources messing with the good stuff.
Now, these lattice-based models are just one approach. Another major category, rule-based models, takes a different tack.
Okay, let's switch gears then. Rule-based models sound pretty straightforward. Is it just about setting clear rules for how information can be accessed and modified?
You're on the right track. Think of it like a strict set of guidelines that govern how subjects like users or programs can interact with objects, which could be files, databases, or any other digital asset.
So instead of levels of access, it's more like defining the rules of engagement.
Precisely. A classic example of a rule-based model is the Clark-Wilson model. This one's a stickler for well-formed transactions.
Well-formed transactions. Sounds fancy. Break that down for me.
Essentially, it means that any changes to data must happen in a controlled and predefined way to prevent accidental or malicious corruption. Let's say you're dealing with sensitive financial records. You wouldn't want just anyone to be able to modify those records however they please, right?
Absolutely not. That's a recipe for chaos, or worse, embezzlement.
Exactly. So Clark-Wilson steps in to enforce strict procedures and checks. Each transaction, like changing a financial record, has to follow a specific pre-approved pathway.
So if someone tries to make a change outside of those approved pathways, the system would flag it as suspicious.
Yeah. This makes it much harder for someone to slip in a fraudulent transaction or alter data without leaving a trace. Clark Wilson is all about maintaining the integrity and consistency of the data by controlling the how of any changes.
It's like setting up those laser grids you see in spy movies to protect the priceless diamond, but we're safeguarding our data.
Exactly. Now, our source also mentions the Brewer and Nash model, also known as the Chinese Wall model. What's that all about?
Okay.
This model tackles a different kind of security concern. Conflicts of interest. Imagine you're a consultant working for two competing companies in the same industry.
Okay, I see where this is going. You have access to sensitive information from both, but you shouldn't be using one company's secrets to benefit the other.
Precisely. That's where the Chinese wall comes in.
Okay.
This model creates metaphorical barriers between data sets to prevent someone from accessing information that could lead to a conflict of interest.
So it's like having separate workspaces in your brain, one for each client, to avoid any accidental or intentional information crossover.
A great analogy. Now, remember how we talked about the need for need to know earlier?
Yeah, like just because I have a library card doesn't mean I can waltz into the restricted archives.
Exactly. That principle is key across all these security models.
Okay. Even if you have the right clearance level, you shouldn't have access to information unless you have a legitimate need for it. And even then, you might need a nod from someone higher up.
Right.
Management approval adds an extra layer of control, ensuring access is granted on a case-by-case basis, not just because you technically could access something. It's all about being deliberate and minimizing risk.
So even if I stumble across a file that's below my clearance level, I shouldn't be peeking unless it's relevant to my work.
Exactly. Security isn't about giving people carte blanche. It's about providing the right access to the right information for the right reasons. Okay, now let's talk about something a bit more. Clandestine.
Ooh, clandestine. Late on me.
Our source talks about covert channels, which are sneaky ways information can leak out, even if all those traditional access controls are in place.
Wait, sneaky? How does that even work?
Think of it like this.
Imagine a program that's supposed to be completely isolated and unable to directly communicate with the outside world. Now, a malicious actor could manipulate how long it takes for that program to perform certain actions, the timing of its responses, to encode a hidden message.
That's devious, like sending Morse code by blinking a light really slowly.
You got it. That's a timing channel. Then there are storage channels, where someone might hide data within the way information is stored.
So instead of directly sending a message, you're manipulating the system's storage to leave breadcrumbs.
Precisely. Imagine rearranging books on a shelf to encode a secret message. To the casual observer, everything looks normal, but someone in the know can decode the message.
That's a clever analogy. Okay, so if these covert channels are so sneaky, how do security models even stand a chance against them?
It's a constant cat and mouse game. The information flow model is particularly relevant here.
Right.
Imagine you're shipping a package. You'd track its journey from origin to destination, right? This model does the same thing for data.
So you're essentially creating an audit trail to see if information is taking any unauthorized side trips.
Exactly. By understanding the normal flow of information within a system, you can more easily spot those covert channels, those instances where data might be leaking out through unconventional routes. It's like knowing your neighborhood so well, you'd notice if someone was acting suspiciously.
I'm starting to see how these different models work together, like layers of protection.
You got it. And each model addresses specific challenges.
Okay.
For example, the state machine model ensures a system is secure no matter what it's doing, whether it's idle, processing data, or being accessed remotely.
So no matter what state the system is in, the security rules hold firm. It's like having different security protocols for different scenarios, routine checks, versus a full-blown emergency.
Exactly. Then there's the non-interference model, which ensures that actions taken at a higher level don't impact those at a lower level.
Okay, I think I get this one. It's like making sure that playing a game on my computer won't suddenly crash the entire operating system.
Exactly. It prevents unintended consequences and ensures that different parts of a system can operate securely without interfering with each other.
Makes sense. Now, this next one sounds intriguing, the take grant model. It's all about permissions, right?
It is. Think of it like a game where player subjects can give or take permissions from each other to access resources. Imagine a user with access to a sensitive file can grant that access to another user.
So it's like delegating responsibilities.
Exactly. Or, conversely, a subject with take privileges could revoke someone else's access.
And there's even a create rule, allowing subjects to create new permissions or resources.
Wow, so this model is all about understanding how those permissions can shift and change within a system. That seems crucial for spotting potential vulnerabilities.
Absolutely. And speaking of visualizing permissions, that's where the access control matrix comes in.
This one sounds familiar. It's basically a table, right?
You got it. Picture a table where the rows are users, the columns are resources, and each cell shows the permissions granted to that user for that specific resource.
So at a glance, you could see who has access to what.
Precisely. It's a clear and concise way to represent and manage access control policies, especially in those big, complex systems with tons of users and resources.
Now, our source mentioned a few other models, briefly. Goga-Masigur, Sutherland, and Authorization to Operate. Can you give us a quick rundown of those?
Absolutely. The Goga-Masigur model, another integrity-focused model, makes sure subjects can only interact with a specific set of objects. It's like giving someone a designated set of tools to do their job. They can use those tools effectively, but can't use them to tamper with anything outside their assigned area.
So it's about limiting the potential for mischief by restricting what each user can even touch in the first place.
Exactly. The Sutherland model, on the other hand, focuses on preventing interference to maintain integrity.
Okay.
Imagine you have a set of secure system states and actions. Mm-hmm. This model ensures the system operates only within those pre-approved boundaries.
Okay, so it's like setting up guardrails for how the system can behave.
Precisely. And our source highlights that this model is particularly useful for preventing those sneaky covert channels from influencing processes or actions.
It's like those old school logic puzzles where you can only move certain pieces in certain ways to solve it.
Exactly. And if you try to cheat the system, the Sutherland model is there to call you out.
Right.
Now, authorization to operate, or ATO, is a bit different.
Okay.
It's not a security model itself, but rather a process for getting the green light to use a system in a specific environment.
So it's like getting the official stamp of approval that your system is ready for prime time.
Exactly. It involves a thorough risk assessment and sign off from someone in charge.
Okay.
This ensures that the security measures in place aren't just for show, but actually meet the needs of that specific environment.
Makes sense. You wouldn't want to roll out a system without knowing if it can handle the heat.
Right.
Speaking of which, we've talked about all these different models and approaches, but how do we actually know if a system is truly secure?
That's where evaluation criteria come in. Our source mentions three big ones: TCSEC, ITSEC, and the Common Criteria.
Okay.
Think of these as benchmarks for measuring how secure a system really is.
So it's like giving a product a grade based on how well it meets certain security standards.
Exactly. TCSEC, also known as the Orange Book, is the classic.
Right.
Though a bit outdated example.
Okay.
It's heavily focused on confidentiality and uses a rating system where A1 is the top dog.
So if a system gets an A1 rating, you know it's been through the ringer and come out on top.
You got it. However, TCSEC has its limitations.
Okay.
It's a product of its time, mostly concerned with standalone systems and confidentiality, which was a major concern for its main user, the U.S. Department of Defense, back in the 1980s.
So it might not be the best fit for today's interconnected world and the ever-evolving threat landscape.
Exactly. That's where ISEC comes in.
Okay.
It's like the European cousin of TCSEC, taking a broader view.
Okay.
Looks at the whole system, not just individual components, and considers not only confidentiality, but also integrity and availability.
A more holistic approach, you could say.
Precisely. And then there's the current gold standard, the Common Criteria.
Duh.
What sets this one apart is its flexibility.
Okay.
Buyers can say exactly what they need in terms of security, and vendors can tailor their solutions to meet those specific needs.
So it's a more collaborative approach to security evaluation, finding the right fit for each situation.
You got it. Common Criteria also uses a graded assurance level system, with EAL7 being the most rigorous.
Okay.
The higher the EAL level, the tougher the evaluation, giving potential buyers a clear way to compare the security of different products.
So it brings a level of transparency and standardization to a field that can feel pretty opaque at times. Wow, this has been quite a journey through the world of security models. We've gone from blueprints to levels of access, from sneaky covert channels to rigorous evaluation criteria.
Yeah.
It's amazing how much goes on behind the scenes to keep our digital lives secure.
And we've only scratched the surface. The exciting and sometimes daunting thing is that this field is always changing as new threats pop up and technology advances.
So for our listeners out there, what's the key takeaway from our deep dive today? What should they be thinking about as they navigate their digital lives?
I'd say this. Security models might seem abstract, but they're the unsung heroes protecting our information, our privacy, even our digital identities.
Right.
So the next time you're using an app, shopping online, or just sending an email, take a moment to appreciate the intricate dance of security models working tirelessly behind the scenes.
It really makes you appreciate all the effort that goes into keeping our digital lives safe.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of security models. Until next time, stay curious and stay secure.